Hey there, sports history fans. Arnie Chapman of Fantasy Football Origin Stories here to tell you about a new way to play fantasy football this upcoming season. Tailgate Fantasy Sports is the game you've been waiting for. It's a new type of fantasy football that's totally free and easy to play. Just sign up with your email, pick your favorite NFL team, and set a three-man lineup using only players from that team. Rotate two players each week and add power-ups to boost your players' scores. The best part? One random power-up drops every week. Now, it's not going to replace your existing leagues. In fact, it might be the way to get some of your favorite players on your home team. Because we all know how hard it is to get your hometown team's players in your home league, right? That is, if you truly follow some semblance of an ADP. I mean, come on. You think I'm getting Amon-Ra the Sun God at market value in my home league? Pick number 7? You gotta be kidding me, dude. Get all the rules over at tailgatefantasysports.com. But the real action happens at tailgatefantasy.io. Tailgate Fantasy Sports, where true fans rule the game. Join now and help us put the word fan back into fantasy football.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame website tells us that Bill Polian once said, "The values of the game teaches you are A, diligence, and B, perseverance. There are many more downs than there are up." We'll talk about Bill Polian on his birthday, as well as we'll talk about the date the SEC forms, 8 different players who received the Heisman Trophy on December 8th, as well as some other great gridiron events on your football history headlines coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the December 8th version of the football history headlines. We're going to get started right now. In December 8th, 1932, in Knoxville, Tennessee, 13 members of the Center Intercollegiate Athletic Association and the Southern Conference, located in the west and the south of the Appalachian Mountains, formerly reorganized into the Southeastern Conference, or SEC as we know it today. According to the post on secsports.com, the member schools at that time were Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Sewanee, Tulane, and Vanderbilt. December 8, 1940, at Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C., the most lopsided NFL title game ever. In fact, it was the most lopsided NFL game ever, as the National Football League Championship game, played in 1940, is long remembered, but not because of the great battle, because of the dominance of the Chicago Bears that day, and History.com's article brings it to details. We have a post of link of History.com's website post on our PigskinDispatch.com website for this article. The Chicago Bears embarrassed Washington Redskins 73-0 in that game. It was the most lopsided victory in NFL history, and it happened to be the NFL showcase game to determine the season's champion. There was no doubt who the top team was in 1940 in the NFL after this one. The game was also the first NFL championship game to be broadcast on national radio. December 8, 1942. The 8th Heisman Trophy Award was given to Frank Senkwich on this date. He was Georgia's outstanding halfback. Heisman.com tells us not only was Senkwich the Bulldogs' first ever Heisman winner, but he was also the first trophy holder to be born outside of the United States. Hailing from Zagreb, Croatia, his family immigrated to the U.S. early in Frank's life. The 1942 season was special for Senkwich, as he set the SEC's passing record when he tossed for 1,392 yards. Frank also ran for an additional 795 yards on the ground and helped the Bulldogs hit a record of 4,725 yards of total offense. He, of course, was voted as an All-America choice and even added to his legend by scoring the only touchdown that season, Rose Bowl, on 2 sprained ankles and a 9-0 blanking of UCLA. December 8, 1948, Southern Methodist University's halfback Doak Walker took home the 14th Heisman Trophy Award. Doak was the second junior player to ever win the coveted trophy associated with being the best player in the nation. Heisman.com fills us in on the details of his great season with the Mustangs. Doak had 542 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns in the season of 1948, and he caught 15 balls for another 278 yards and an additional 2 scores. When you pad those totals with yardage accumulated from him passing for 5 touchdowns and 304 more yards, you see what the weapon he was for the powerful SMU offense. Walker was the 3rd overall pick in the 1950 NFL draft by the Detroit Lions, and he played there for 6 seasons, even holding the NFL rushing title in one of those years. December 8, 1953, the 19th Heisman Trophy was placed into the hands of Johnny Lattner of Notre Dame by the Downtown Athletic Club, according to the award's website. The senior halfback had an outstanding season for the Irish as he led the team to a 9-0-1 record while accumulating 651 yards rushing on 134 attempts and caught 14 balls for another 204 yards gained. His special teams play was outstanding as well as he averaged nearly 40 yards per kick return in the 8 times he fielded the ball, and he picked off 4 passes while playing defense. Johnny's all-purpose yards school record stood for 25 years at Notre Dame. Lattner played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a season before entering into the U.S. Air Force, but before he could return to the NFL, he suffered a career-ending knee injury in a military game. December 8, 1955, the 21st Heisman Trophy Award was handed to Howard Cassidy, the halfback from Ohio State University. Hop-along, as he was called, ran for 958 yards and 15 scores in his senior season to take home the nation's top collegiate hardware, and he also earned him the Associated Press's Athlete of the Year Award. Cassidy was a first-round pick of the NFL's Detroit Lions, where he played defensive back and also spent some time with the Philadelphia Eagles before retiring from the league. December 8, 1973, the movie Something for Joey captured the heart of a nation as it told the tale of Penn State running back John Cappelletti playing his butt off for his younger ill brother, Joe. The performance on the gridiron earned Cappelletti the 39th Heisman Trophy Award as he rushed for 1,522 yards and 17 touchdowns to become the first Nittany Lion to win the trophy. His quest included 3 straight late-season 200-plus yard games, according to the Heisman.com website. Other accolades received by John were the Maxwell Trophy, and he was selected as the Player of the Year by ABC-TV, United Press International, the Philadelphia Sports Writers Association, the Walter Camp Foundation, and the Washington Touchdown Club. The LA Rams used the 11th overall pick in the 1974 NFL Draft to select Cappelletti, and his NFL career lasted 10 seasons with both the Rams and the San Diego Chargers. December 8, 1977, the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell of the University of Texas won the 43rd Heisman Trophy Award. The running back, who was known for his powerful lower body and exceptional balance, rushed for 1,744 yards and 19 touchdowns as he led the Longhorns to an undefeated season and became the school's first Heisman Trophy for the trophy's official website. Earl was drafted by the Houston Oilers in the 1978 NFL Draft with the top pick in the draft. He took the league by storm as he dominated the rushing statistics for his first few seasons as a pro player. Now, how about a couple headlines from the SEC? December 8, 2001, the SEC Championship game of 2001 had the number 21 LSU Tigers upending the second-ranked Volunteers of Tennessee by the score of 31-20. Then, on December 8, 2007, Florida Gator quarterback Tim Tebow claimed the prize of the 73rd Heisman Trophy Award. Heisman.com informs us that while Tim was the first sophomore ever to take home the prestigious trophy, Tebow accounted for 51 touchdowns for his Gators that season and gained by a combination of his arm and his legs. He passed for 3,132 yards and 29 scores with 6 interceptions, while rushing for 828 yards on 22 touchdowns. Tebow was drafted in the first round by the Denver Broncos and then bounced around the league playing for the Jets, Patriots, and Eagles as well. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
December 8th, 2018, the 84th Heisman Trophy Award belonged to Kyler Murray, the nifty quarterback of the Oklahoma Sooners. It was the second consecutive Heisman Award given to Sooners quarterbacks, as the previous year's trophy went to Baker Mayfield, according to Heisman.com. Murray's 4,946 yards of total offense and 51 TDs were big numbers that attracted the votes in his direction for collegiate football's most prestigious individual award. Oklahoma now has 7 Heisman winners, which ties them with both Ohio State and Notre Dame for the most winners from one school. Murray initially was part of the Texas A&M's program, but after his freshman season, he transferred to the Sooners. The second place in the Heisman vote going was Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama, and in third was Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. Kyler Murray was the first overall pick of the 2019 NFL Draft when the Arizona Cardinals selected him to be the face of their franchise. Now it's the time in our show where we recognize some Hall of Fame birthdays to celebrate on this December 8th. And we'll start off on December 8th, 1914, in Portland, Oregon. Bobby Grayson, the fullback from Stanford, was born. According to footballfoundation.org, Bobby was another member of the Vow Boys group, who were a group of Cardinal players that vowed not to lose to USC again in their careers after being shut out by the Trojans 13-0 in the 1932 freshman contest. Grayson helped fulfill the vow he made by scoring the first touchdown in his varsity game against the Southern Cal in the Cardinal 13-7 victory. Grayson was a 2-time consensus All-America player, and in the 1934 Rose Bowl, he set a 25-year standing record when he rushed for 152 yards in a game. The National Football Foundation selected Bobby Grayson to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1955. December 8, 1941, in Cleveland, Ohio, a birthday is celebrated on this day by Nebraska's top flight guard, Bob Brown. The NFF points out that Bob Boomer Brown had a pretty large stature for a player in his era, as he loomed over opponents with his 6'4" frame that weighed 260 pounds. Nebraska finished 10-1 in his final college season, and Boomer earned the honor of being a unanimous All-America pick in 1963 at guard. The NFF voters placed Bob Brown into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1993. Bob was selected by both the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles and the AFL's Denver Broncos as a tackle in the 1964 respective drafts of each league. He chose to play for the Eagles as they picked him 2nd overall, and he had a brilliant 10-year NFL career with the Eagles, the Raiders, and Rams. Boomer Brown was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2004's class. December 8, 1942, the Bronx, New York. Bill Polian, the NFL frontman that turned the fortunes of 3 different franchises into winners, was born. Polian led the Buffalo Bills front office in the late 1980s and helped the team play in 4 consecutive Super Bowls. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's website then describes how he left both Buffalo and changed the fortunes of his second-year Carolina Panthers that went to the NFC Championship game, only to follow that up with building the Indianapolis Colts powerhouse teams of the early 2000s that found good fortunes by winning 8 division titles and appeared in 2 Super Bowls. Bill Polian in 2015 entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they placed him as a contributor in their Gold Jacket Club and remember Bill Polian for his NFL accomplishments. December 8, 1958, Duluth, Georgia. The University of South Carolina's legendary runner George Rogers celebrates his birth. When you are blessed with being agile, well-balanced, can run a 40-yard dash in 4.5 seconds, and weigh in at 220 pounds, you should be bound for gridiron greatness. And that is exactly what the NFF states that George Rogers was in college. In both 1979 and in 1980, he was an All-America player and even won the Heisman Trophy for the 1980 season for being the nation's top player. George averaged about 6 yards per carry in his 4th year with the Gamecocks, putting up 1,781 rushing yards, and he set a school career record with his 4,958 yards on the ground in his 4 seasons. The National Football Foundation selected George Rogers to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. George played in the NFL for the Saints and the Redskins and won the Rookie of the Year honors in 1981. In 1986, he led the league with 18 touchdowns scored. We hope that we filled your football head with some great information for this December 8th, and we want you to join us tomorrow on December 9th's Football History Headlines, when we'll discuss the first Heisman ever awarded, the Bears retired Ditka's number, and Eric Dickerson establishes an NFL record in a game. Make sure you don't miss it, so get notified the second the edition of this podcast is released. So put your mouse over that cursor, hit the subscribe button on your podcast player, and crush it like an offensive tackle hitting a DB. You can also find all of the episodes on your favorite podcast provider at pigskindispatch.com or thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews with some great talented podcast providers and talents. So make sure you join us at one of those sites, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the Official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the Official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.